I invite you to take your Bibles and turn to Galatians chapter 5. Galatians chapter 5. Beginning in verse 1. Galatians 5 verse 1. Paul writes, "It is for freedom that Christ has set us free. Stand firm then, and do not let yourselves be burdened again by a yoke of slavery. Mark my words. I, Paul, tell you that if you let yourselves be circumcised, Christ will be of no value to you at all. Again, I declare to every man who lets himself be circumcised that he is obligated to obey the whole law. You who are trying to be justified by law have been alienated from Christ. You've fallen away from grace. But by faith we eagerly await, through the Spirit, the righteousness for which we hope. For in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision nor uncircumcision has any value. The only thing that counts is faith expressing itself through love. You were running a good race. Who cut in on you and kept you from obeying the truth? That kind of persuasion does not come from the one who calls you. A little yeast works through the whole batch of dough. I am confident in the Lord that you will take no other view. The one who is throwing you into confusion will pay the penalty, whoever he may be. Brothers, if I am still preaching circumcision, why am I still being persecuted? In that case, the offense of the cross has been abolished. As for those agitators, I wish it would go the whole way and emasculate themselves." As we come to these words of Paul to the Galatians and to us, let's look to God in prayer, shall we? Lord, again, we look to you this morning. Lord, to apply what Paul wrote to Galatians almost 2,000 years ago, that you apply these words to our hearts, our lives as well. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. In Romans 7, verses 18 and 19, Paul summarized a problem we all have. He wrote, "I know that nothing good lives in me, that is, in my sinful nature. For I have the desire to do what is good, but I cannot carry it out. For what I do is not the good I want to do. No, the evil I do not want to do, this I keep on doing." Without the Holy Spirit, this describes all of us. Anyone who is truthful to himself must admit that he really is without any hope. Or as Paul wrote later in verses 23 and 24, "But I see another law at work in the members of my body, waging war, a fight, against the law of my mind, and making me a prisoner of the law of sin at work within my members. What a wretched man I am. Who will rescue me from this body of death?" There's no hope in this life. Romans 3:23 says, "For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God." No one can be as good as he wants. We all fall short in sin. Ecclesiastes 3:17 kind of summarizes it this way. "So I hated life, because the works that it's done under the sun was grievous to me. All it is meaningless, a chasing after the wind." There's no hope for the future either. Romans 6:23 begins with the words, "For the wages of sin is death," that is, an eternity in hell. This world is a valley of despair. Some try to cover this despair with mind-numbing, pride-filled selfishness, collecting as many toys as they can get, some through legitimate ways and some through violence on others. Some resort to things like social justice, vainly trying to make a sinful world into God's world. Some just give up and yield to a world of drugs and mental oblivion. And still others, the religious ones, come up with more rules and more regulations, making their own man-made religions. Legalism, works-based salvation, has been man's way of earning his salvation forever as he tries to cover his despair and his sinfulness. But Paul has taught, the Bible says, that salvation is a gift of mercy and grace from God. No one's worth it. No one can earn it. A person is justified, that is made right with God, only by God's grace by that person's response in faith to that grace. On the cross, Jesus purchased our pardon, doing for us what we could not do for ourselves. As Paul wrote, the only thing that counts is faith expressing itself through love. And Paul has just finished his 6 doctrinal arguments for justification through grace and not by works. As we saw, he compared grace and the law, grace and legalism. Now, in these last 2 chapters of Galatians, Paul turns from argument to application, from the doctrinal to the practical. Contrary to the teachings of the Judaizers, Christian liberty, that is, salvation without law or works, isn't a license to keep on sinning. Salvation isn't just believing on Jesus Christ. As Romans 12:2 says, salvation is a lifelong process of becoming more Christ-like through the power of the Holy Spirit, transforming the believer from the inside out. As Romans 12:2 puts it, being transformed by the renewing of your mind. This is a fancy word for this. We call it sanctification, becoming more Christ-like. The life of genuine faith is more than belief in divine truth. It also bears divine fruit. Using 3 different comparisons, Paul began this section by showing that when grace is abandoned for law or for works, there's less. There's loss. Under legalism, there's loss of several things. First, freedom is lost. Freedom's lost. Verse 1, Paul wrote, it is for freedom that Christ has set us free. When the believers in Galatia trusted in Christ, they lost the yoke of servitude to sin and put on the yoke of Jesus Christ. Jesus talked about his yoke. Turn to Matthew chapter 11. Matthew chapter 11. Beginning of verse 28. Matthew 11, beginning verse 28. Jesus said, come to me, all you who are weary and are burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Freedom is the heart of the gospel. The yoke of Christ frees one to do God's will. But legalism enslaves in the impossible demands of forcing obedience to the law. For the believers, no longer is the external force of law needed to keep one in God's will. Now freedom, or as some translators say, liberty, allows for the internal leading of the Holy Spirit of God. For a matter, turn to Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8, beginning verse 1. Talking about being led by the Spirit. Romans chapter 8, verse 1. Paul wrote here. Therefore, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Because through Christ Jesus, the law of the Spirit of life set me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law was powerless to do, in that it was weakened by the sinful nature, God did by sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful man, to be a sin offering. And so he condemned sin in sinful man, in order that the righteous requirements of the law might be fully met in us, who do not live according to the sinful nature, but live according to the Spirit. Christians are led by the Holy Spirit to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. On the other hand, the religious legalist wears a yoke of slavery. Slavery of obedience to the law. Freedom or liberty is lost when grace is abandoned for works. Second, wealth is lost. Paul wrote in verse 2, Christ will be of no value to you at all. It's bad enough that legalism robs a believer of his freedom, but also robs him of his spiritual wealth in Christ. For example, the peace of God, the fruit of the Spirit, the hope of eternal life, which God, who does not lie, promised before the beginning of time. The believer who lives under law becomes a bankrupt slave. God gave circumcision as a symbol or a sign of his covenant of promise to the Jews. But over time, most Jews looked on circumcision as having spiritual value in itself. To them, it was not a reminder of God's gracious blessing, but a means of earning his favor. Paul wasn't against circumcision. He had Timothy circumcised. It was the reason that it was done. If the Galatians let themselves be circumcised for the purpose of earning favor in God's eyes, Paul wrote, they would lose all the benefits they had in Christ. In addition to losing their benefits, submitting the law will put them under the obligation to obey all of the law. As James 2:10 says, for whoever keeps the whole law and yet stumbles at just one point is guilty of breaking all of it. Legalism is an all or nothing proposition. One cannot pick and choose what to do and what not to do. As Paul is writing to the Galatians and Christians in general, he is writing to two different groups of people. First, there are those who genuinely trusted in Jesus for salvation, the ones we call the saved. The second group was made up of those who had gone through the motions, or perhaps hadn't really made a decision yet, the unsaved. To those who are not saved, Paul was saying that they could not be saved. They could not gain an eternal benefit from Christ if they only trusted in circumcision and the law. To those who were saved, he was saying that adding the law, legalism, to complete their salvation would lead to a lack of growth in their spiritual lives. To live by grace means to depend on God's abundant supply for every need. Liberty, freedom, means depending on God's riches. This leads to growth in one's Christian life. To live by law means to depend on one's own strength, on the flesh. Those that live by the flesh are left to get by without God's riches, and this leads to spiritual malnutrition. Back in Galatians 4, verse 4, Paul wrote, you who are trying to be justified by the law have been alienated from Christ. You have fallen away from grace. By following the law, the Christians would fall out of the domain of God's grace. Contrary to the teaching of the Judaizers, the false teachers, to add circumcision and other works of the law to what Christ accomplished by grace is not to raise one's spiritual level, but to severely lower it. Legalism doesn't please God. I think it offends him. It doesn't bring a person closer to God. It drives him away. And such a person is spiritually bankrupt. Living by the flesh, the law, interferes with living by the Spirit. Living by the flesh may even involve doing the right things, but for the wrong reasons. For example, to worship God from the heart and for God's sake is to live by the Spirit. However, to worship God only outwardly or to impress others or God with one's supposed spirituality is to live by the flesh. When one lives by grace, he depends on the power of the Spirit. Under the law, one depends on himself and his own efforts. Nothing that is either done or not done in the flesh, even a religious ceremony, makes any difference in one's relationship to God. Only actions motivated by love are important. Turn to Matthew chapter 22. Matthew chapter 22. Matthew 22, beginning in verse 34. Matthew chapter 22, beginning in verse 34. Matthew wrote, hearing that the Jews had silenced the Sadducees, the Pharisees got together. One of them, an expert in the law, tested him with this question, teacher, what is the greatest commandment in the law? Jesus replied, love, agape, the Lord your God with all your heart, and with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. And the second is like it, love. Again, the word is agape. your neighbor as yourself. All the law and the prophets hang on these two commandments. Basically, Jesus was saying that everything one does should be motivated by love. Love of God and love of others, and not by the law. When a believer walks by faith, while depending on the Spirit of God, he's in the sphere of God's grace. All his needs are provided. Daily, he experiences the riches of God's grace. At the same time, he can look forward to Jesus' return. John 14, verse 3, Jesus said, I will come back and take you to be with me, that you also may be where I am. For those walking in the flesh, in legalism, the law gives no promise for perfect righteousness in the future. Paul talked about this just a little bit. Turn to Galatians chapter 3. Galatians chapter 3. Be in verse 23. Galatians 3, verse 23. Paul wrote, before this faith came, we were held prisoners by the law, locked up until faith should be revealed. So the law was put in charge to lead us to Christ, that we may be justified by faith. Now that faith has come, we are no longer under the supervision of the law. The law only prepared the way for the first coming of Jesus Christ, his life, his death, his burial, his resurrection. It cannot prepare the way for the second coming of Jesus Christ and eternal life in heaven with him. The believer who chooses legalism robs himself of spiritual liberty and spiritual wealth and hope. He chooses to put himself into bondage and bankruptcy. Finally, direction is lost. In verse 7, Paul wrote, you are running a good race. Who cut in on you and kept you from obeying the truth? The Christians in Galatia had begun well. They'd accepted the word of God. They trusted in the Lord Jesus Christ. They'd received the Holy Spirit. Galatians 4:15 records, they had a deep joy that was seen by all. But now the direction was lost. Their joy was lost. The Judaizers had come. They'd cut in on them and caused them to change direction and go on a spiritual detour. It wasn't God who had done this. 2 Thessalonians 2:13 says, God chose you to be saved through the sanctifying work of the Spirit and through belief in the truth. But now they were going in the wrong direction. Legalism. Salvation based on the law and works. Liberty is salvation based on faith in Jesus Christ. The Judaizers were preventing the unsaved from coming to Christ and the saved from following him in faith. Salvation is a gift from God. Salvation is a lifelong process of becoming more Christ-like. Under legalism, there's loss. Freedom is loss. Legalism tries to force obedience to the law. Liberty allows for the leading of the Holy Spirit. Wealth is lost. Freedom means depending on God's riches. Living by the law means depending on one's own strength, and direction is lost. Legalism is salvation based on works. Liberty is salvation based on faith in Jesus Christ. At this point in Galatians, Paul changed the figure from athletics and racing to cooking and yeast. In Scripture, yeast is generally pictured as a symbol of evil, of sin. And just like a little yeast can grow and permeate a whole lump of dough, so a small amount of falsehood or sin can eventually corrupt the thinking and living of a large group of people. And that's just what the false doctrine of the Judaizers had done. It started out small, but now it's threatening to take over the whole church. But Paul had confidence in them. I'm confident, he wrote, in the Lord that you will take no other view. Ultimately, Paul prayed and hoped that they would reject the false teachings. Among their distortions and lies, it seemed that the Judaizers claimed that Paul preached circumcision just as they did. Because Timothy was half Jewish, Paul, Acts says that Paul had Timothy circumcised in order to minimize criticism from the Jews to whom they would minister together. God had demanded circumcision as a sign, not as a way of earning salvation. Paul wrote, "But in Christ, neither circumcision nor uncircumcision has any value." Paul taught only the cross, and the cross was offensive to the Jews, partly because they could not accept the idea of a suffering, much less crucified Messiah. But also it was offensive because it robbed them of their most distinctive outward signs of being Jewish, keeping the law and circumcision. Paul closed this section with one of the harshest statements he wrote in any of his letters. "I wish they would go the whole way and emasculate themselves." Paul wasn't writing with a cruel desire for the Judaizers' punishment. God will take care of that. I think Paul's point was, if the Judaizers are so insensitive or insistent on circumcision as a means of pleasing God, why don't they go all the way? Castrate themselves as a supreme act of religious devotion. If, like the pagans, they believe human achievement can earn divine favor, why don't they go to the pagan extremes of self-mutilation? Legalism was a problem back in Paul's day. It's a problem in our day just as well. Sadly, there are some people who feel so insecure with freedom, they'd rather be under the tyranny of some leader than to make their own decisions freely. There are some believers who are so frightened by liberty that they have on God's grace that they seek out a fellowship or a group that's legalistic and dictatorial. Someplace they can let others make their decisions for them. This is like an adult climbing back into the crib. Christians need to be growing, progressing from the milk of the gospel to the meat of God's word. Every Christian needs to study the scriptures so that she can walk as God would have them walk, not as someone else would have them do. 2 Timothy 2:15 says, "Do your best, that is, study, to present yourself to God as one approved, a workman who does not need to be ashamed, and who correctly handles the word of truth." The spirit of legalism doesn't suddenly appear in a church. Paul warned that like yeast, it begins small. It grows sometimes slowly, sometimes quickly, but eventually it permeates or can permeate the whole church. In some cases, the motives that encourage legalism are good, but the methods are not scriptural. For example, baptism, the Lord's table are commanded, but contrary to some teachings, neither one is needed for salvation. As Paul said over and over and over, a person is saved through faith alone. Baptism, the Lord's table, are to be done for the love of Jesus Christ in obedience to his love, his lordship, and salvation. It isn't wrong to have standards in a church, but we should never think that the standards will make us any more spiritual or that keeping the standards is evidence of spirituality. Except as it demonstrates the inner righteousness of a person's heart, the outward is totally unimportant and worthless. In 1 Samuel 16, verse 7, God said, "The Lord does not look at the things man looks at. Man looks at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart." Every Christian has a responsibility to watch out for the beginnings of legalism. That first bit of yeast that infects his life or the church, which can over time grow into a serious problem. Such legalism takes away God-given freedom, God's gifts, God's directions. The believer who lives within God's grace is free, rich, and running in a path that leads to reward and fulfillment. The believer who abandons grace for legalism and works is a slave, bankrupt, and a runner on the wrong path. He's losing out of so much. The only way to be successful is to get rid of the yeast, the false doctrine that mixes law and grace, and yield to the Holy Spirit. So bottom line, I guess, is this for the day. On what do you base your salvation? On what do you base your Christian walk? God's word or man's word and man's rules? Why do you do the things that you do? Because of fear of punishment from God or some other authority? Or for the accolades of those around you? Or from love of God and love of your neighbor? Don't be a misdirected, bankrupt slave. Be a free, rich, on-track child of God. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, your soul, and your mind. And love your neighbor as yourself. Let's pray. Lord, in our humanness, there's this five-letter word called pride that gets in us. And Lord, we start doing things pridefully because of our people's accolades. Pats on the back, maybe even from God himself. Then, Lord, that slowly becomes a law. Lord, help us to be wise. Help us to see sin, legalism, as it perhaps creeps into our lives. Help us, Lord, to see it and get rid of it. Lord, help us live lives of love to those around us. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.